stop me if you've heard this one before. You're excited about a new habit that you're going to build, or some positive change that you're going to install into your life. You have it all planned out, and as you get to work, you start to realize that the results aren't coming like you thought they would. You've been working for a few weeks. You were supposed to see more weight loss from your diet by now. It's been a few months. Your business should have been pulling in new clients at this point. And after a while, you realize things aren't unfolding the way they should or the way that they're supposed to. I've definitely been there. And if you're like me, then you know what happens next is usually frustration, getting in your own head, and finally throwing your hands up and saying, screw it, this isn't working anyway. So what would happen if you were to let go of all of those expectations? Welcome to Change Made Easy. Changing your habits and routines is hard. We make it easy. My name is Paul Levitin. I am a board-licensed wellness coach, and I've worked to help people build better habits and routines for over a decade. No matter what you're trying to accomplish in your life, it all starts with changing something about your habits or your routines. Aristotle said, "We are what we repeatedly do." Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit. Change your habits, change your life. It really is that simple. Now, let's make it easy. Today's guest is Laura Poburin. Laura started off as an exercise physiologist and a nutrition coach, using her skills to improve both her own and her clients' physiques. Eventually, though, Laura came to learn that there was more to her happiness and the happiness of her clients, so she pivoted to helping other health and nutrition coaches better communicate with their clients to not only get them better results, but to allow for an all-around better experience while doing it. Now, Laura focuses on empathy and connection as a skill, as well as human behavior and our emotional experience as they relate not only to food, but life in general. Today, Laura is here to talk about where everyone is going wrong when they're trying to do their quote-unquote mindset work and the conversation we need to be having around mindset instead. We also talk about the problem with expectations and why by having them, you're automatically making yourself wrong, as well as how perfectionism is affecting your habits and behavior patterns, and the importance of attaching meaning to change. So please enjoy this conversation with Laura Poburin. People talk a lot about empathy and connection. You know, we want to connect more, and people know that empathy is inherently a good trait to have. But something that you talk a lot about and you teach is that empathy and connection are skills. So I was just wondering, could you expand on that a little more?
Yeah, I think it's really important to understand that, you know, empathy is something you can learn, and connection is something that we aren't necessarily born knowing how to do when it comes to connecting with our coach or connecting back into ourselves, right? We're innately expected to just be able to connect with people in this really authentic way and to connect with ourselves in a really genuine way. But society plays such a huge role in our inability to truly find that connection with ourselves or with the people in our lives. And I find it's really important to normalize the fact that we can learn and relearn and continue to relearn connection and empathy within the scope of whether or not, you know, we're struggling to connect back into what our goals are really taking us towards, or whether we're connecting with the people in our lives that are really pulling us towards our goals or away from our goals. So ultimately, the inner work that needs to happen to make connection possible is something we can revisit over the course of our life in lots of different contexts. So if we feel disconnected, it's okay. It's just we've been conditioned that way based on what we've experienced in our lives. So not to place this expectation that connection needs to be something that we're just innately awesome at, because a lot of us really struggle in that area, right?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely agree with that. And just for those listening, Laura is a coach for coaches. So Laura usually helps nutrition coaches talk to their clients better and get better results for their clients. So some of the things that she's talking about is, you know, are more aimed at the actual practitioner, but this is all very relevant for the end user. And something that you said that I really liked was around the expectations around connection, specifically because I feel like in this world where we are hyper-connected, right? We are infinitely connected at every given moment. Social media, we're always connected. There's literally, you know, people, you know, again, you and I met once and we've talked a few times, but it's like, I know about your life because we're connected on social media, you know? So there's an expectation that people have to, like you said, to be good at this type of thing, or that we should know how to do it because we are doing it. And that's kind of like a strange thing. And it can, I think, get people down maybe because like, well, how am I good? I'm not good at it, but I'm supposed to be, you know?
Right. I think, you just hit the nail on the head for a lot of different topics. That expectation to be good at something that we don't innately feel we're good at can be so disempowering in so many different aspects of our life, right? You know, even when we're talking about chasing an external physical goal, right? If we went surface level and we just looked at that for a second, there's so many expectations that we hold all the time around, I should be able to just eat enough protein. I should be able to just not binge on the weekend. But there's subconscious things going on with us, right? We're conditioned in a very specific way based on how we were raised, based on the experiences we had. And connection is just one piece of that, right? I think for the end user, understanding that knowing how to connect back with yourself is one of the most valuable pieces of the puzzle that is never spoken about in a health journey, in the nutrition journey, in a mindset journey, right? If we don't know, you know, where we've been conditioned and where our brain is trying to keep us safe, if we don't know the habitual emotional reactions we're falling into and why that's being triggered in us, and we just operate kind of on autopilot, we're disconnected from ourselves. We're hyper-connected externally, right? We're hyper-connected to other people socially through networks and whatever, but to ourselves, we are so disconnected because it's almost like that forced expectation of needing to be connected all the time to all these other people is almost pulling us away from connecting with ourselves.
Yeah, for sure. I love that. Because I say this all the time that like, we only have so much energy. Energy is, you know, time is our most precious resource. And then right after that comes energy to me, because theoretically, we can make more energy. We can't make more time. But that energy piece of like, yes, we are so hyper connected and we're so giving on every other social network and talking to people and talking to jobs and answering emails. But it's like, we don't take the time to check in with ourselves. And that is, like you said, the most crucial and overlooked piece to all of this. So Can you give like, I don't know, maybe an example from maybe a client you've worked with or a story from yourself in the past of like one of those things of like of that disconnect between like when we don't really understand what's going in because we haven't checked in with ourselves. Do you get what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, I think I have hundreds I could pull from and people will absolutely resonate with a few more simple examples. But, you know, the most common, I guess, in the nutrition space and the mindset space would be something around the lines of, you know, you have these people who are influencing you around your life, whether it's your family or your friends, right? And they expect something of you, or you perceive there to be this expectation of something of you. Like, I need to eat a certain way to belong to this group. I need to drink to keep up with them because I was the party girl in high school and I'm afraid not to be that person anymore. But there's something deep inside of you that's like feels anxious in those scenarios, right? There's something telling you that that's not right for you, but you ignore that because there's all of these other factors at play, fear of not belonging, fear of being judged. So when it comes to connection and you're thinking about how you're operating in your life, really specifically, who are you around most often and how are they influencing the person that you're portraying to the world? What are the masks that you're wearing in all your different social groups, right? Because here's the thing, you are a different person with every single person in your life, right? You behave differently. Like, for example, you behave differently at a restaurant talking to the server than you do talking to your mother-in-law, than you do talking to your best friend. You're a different person, right? You wear a different mask. Who are you by yourself? Are you massively uncomfortable when you're alone? Are you codependent on other people's feedback telling you who you are or who you're allowed to be. This influences your nutrition journey. This influences your ability to heal your mindset. If we're not aware where that codependency is really coming into play in your journey, and you're just expecting yourself to be able to stick to a singular plan, no matter who you're around, you've already failed.
Right. I love that. I love that too. You spoke about expectations twice already. So you said in connections, but then we also talked about it when you're talking about masks and people's perceptions and like their others' expectations of themselves. So how do you feel that affects people in terms of in the side of nutrition, but then also just in terms of our general day-to-day life, like just the expectations that we feel kind of weighing on us?
Yeah, I could talk about expectations for 6 hours, but ultimately, you know, like expectations come into the conversation. I think our industry as a whole is doing a great job of moving in the right direction, where we're starting to introduce the idea of expectations to the general population, and they're starting to pay more attention to like, oh, I have this expectation that I should be able to lose 2 pounds a week as a really surface level external example, right? But how often does that actually become a reality?
Right.
You know, I think the frame I'd like to lead this piece of the conversation through is that, you know, we keep creating expectations on ourselves in an attempt to make ourselves feel motivated, right? It's like we trick ourselves. We have these expectations. They weigh heavy on us that we should be able to do X, Y, and Z in our lives, and we should be able to stick to X, Y, and Z in our nutrition. And there's this big payoff on the other side of these expectations, right? We set these goals and we just expect to be able to do exactly what we need to do to get there. But in doing so, we're consistently and constantly making ourselves wrong, because that's not life. Right? That's not how the human brain is designed to operate. That's not how you're designed to operate within your life. You can't just create this idea of how things are supposed to go and then have them go that way. Like every time you set an expectation, you're making yourself wrong. We need to stop making ourselves wrong. Right? We need to start, instead of I expect myself to do these things or I should be able to, that's a huge one, especially for like the end user. I should be able to is a red flag sentence. Anytime you tell yourself or think I should be able to, stop, catch yourself. This is an expectation you have on yourself based on some external thing that you learned somewhere that has nothing to do with you.
Right.
Okay. There is no should.
Right.
It's just, where are you right now? Let's take like inventory of how you're feeling right now. Let's strip away those expectations and let's just have some faith that things are going to turn out the way that they're meant to if you pay attention to what you need in this moment. Because what happens is when there's these expectations looming out here, like way outside of yourself from all of these inputs, right? We make different decisions, we behave differently in our lives versus having both sort of dissolve and just asking ourselves and checking in with ourselves, what feels best for me right now in this moment?
Right.
Which is massively uncomfortable. I still struggle with it too.
You know, this comes back down. This is everything. The more we get caught up on that, we're setting ourselves up for failures. Like one of the biggest pieces that people, I think, struggle with, because it's like when you have that unrealistic expectation or realistic expectation, doesn't matter. The point is the expectation, you have an idea, a picture of what the end result is supposed to be, right? Yes. And that means that any other end result that does not fit that is now failure, because you painted a picture, you painted yourself into a little box. And this also loops back around to something that I wanted to talk to you about actually. And this is the biggest thing. I don't know. It's hard to say the most important thing because everything's so important, but perfectionism, right? I did a poll on my Facebook group. I have a private Facebook community for clients. And I asked, you know, but it was like a bunch of topics. And I was like, which of these do you struggle the most with? And by far the number one answer was perfectionism. And I think that that's the biggest thing. So I was just wondering, I know you've talked about this, I've seen on your social media. So how you feel about it and any advice you have for people, for coaches, but just for everyone.
Hey, real quick, we'll be back to the show in just a few seconds, but right now I just have to tell you about my free weekly newsletter. If you want to join the thousands of change seekers just like you, who get a curated list each week of 5 educational, informative, and inspiring pieces of content to help you on your quest for change, then click the link in the notes that says free newsletter right now. You'll get signed up for free tips that will make your change journey easier, sent straight to your inbox every Friday. All you have to do is click free newsletter in whatever app you're listening on. Okay, now back to the show.
I love this. And I mean, this is a perfect segue because I think perfectionism and expectation are like brother and sister, right? They go hand in hand. They're almost like twins. They're joined at the hip. We can't have perfectionism without some level of expectation attached to it. And so before I paint that picture in a broader stroke for your audience, I'd love to just offer this little tidbit. It's something that I just recently went through myself. You know, I used to own a gym. Okay. I used to be like your typical gym rat. I was like, looking at me, you would never think it, but I was like your heavy metal, deadlifting, heavy squat, like all the gear. That was me for years. You would never guess it now. But I put so much pressure on myself because I thought to get the body that I wanted, I had to lift heavy 6 days a week, and I had to do high intensity interval training, and I had to always be progressing. Like, I would literally cry at the barbell if I couldn't lift the weight I expected I should be able to lift based on my periodized training plan. Like, it was awful. And I went down this rabbit hole for years and years and years. And recently, because of COVID, I can go to the gym. In Canada, all the gyms are closed for like a year. I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to do? It was the most confronting thing I think I've ever gone physically for my body. And so I started to do yoga. And I totally fell in love with it. I loved it. It was something that I would only ever do when I was like, I need an active recovery day. Like, yoga's not really a workout, right? That was what I thought. Yoga's not really a workout. It's not something that is really going to challenge me in the same way. But in this last year, I was forced to release what I thought I needed to do and sink into a new way of exploring my body. And actually, I feel stronger than I ever have doing yoga. It's more challenging mentally than anything I've ever done before. More confronting mentally. And so I'm sharing this because ultimately, there's a lot of things we think we need to be doing because it's just what we've always known to be true. It's what we've always been told. And because of that, we sink into these mindsets of, I need to perfect it because more is better. Being the best is better, right? I need to challenge myself. I need to always be pushing my limits. And that's where like that expectation of perfectionism tie in. So I share that because I now feel way better in my body than I ever have before. I feel more leaner, like I have more muscle just from doing yoga. So you never know really what's on the other side of releasing those expectations. You never know what's on the other side of surrendering to what's true for you right now and what is for you right now. So when it comes to perfectionism, I think it's really important for people to intimately understand their relationship with expectation first, and then to understand where that's affecting them or pulling them into very specific behavioral patterns in their life. Because perfectionism is kind of like expectation in action. It's the things that you do, right? It's the stacking of your schedule back to back to back without any breathing room. It's, I'm going to do 10 things all at once because I am a mom and I have 3 kids and I have a business and I should be able to, right?
Should, right?
But all that does is it just creates this space in your mind where you're never successful, you're never right, you're never going to get what you want. And that place is so toxic. You're never going to be able to escape it unless you begin to understand your relationship with expectation first and how that's showing up in your life and the actions that you're taking, which is your perfectionism behaviors.
Right.
That makes sense.
For sure. I really love the quote. I just wrote this down that you said, perfectionism is expectation in action. I think that that like a really, really powerful thing, because it's like we have this, all these beliefs, right? And these deep seated beliefs about the way our life is supposed to be. And that's one of the things that we have to look at is like, where does this stuff come from? Right. It's like, where does, you know, we have this belief of, like you said, I'm a mom and moms are supposed to have it all together. But it's like, who said, I've never met
a mom who has it all together.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think too, even just to build on that really quickly before you move on, you know, when we think about what we picture to be that perfect scenario in our lives, how do you even know you're going to be happy with that?
Right. Right.
Right. How do you even know that that's going to make a difference for you? You could be so much happier if we just released all of those expectations and sort of let things evolve as they naturally want to. Maybe you don't go to the gym for 2 weeks and you end up feeling happier in your body. That could happen. Right. Your mind is like, oh, no. Right. You got to go to the gym. Because if you gain an ounce of fat, you're going to cry. And that's going to be a good scenario, right? Your brain is just so conditioned to keep you safe. Mm-hmm. Your brain wants you to feel safe, right? And everything it tells you, all the stories that comes up, all the emotions it makes you feel is to keep you in this place of equilibrium. It wants to keep you in this place of feeling held. And fortunately, a lot of what it tells you is based on past experiences, or like you said just a minute ago, the beliefs you've adopted from other people, not necessarily the things that are true for you. We have to start challenging those. We have to start looking at them without judgment, just curiosity.
Right. I love everything that you just said. And there's so much there that I could go off on. One, like just that belief part, right? And it's like a lot of these beliefs are programmed by the media, right? Like, I have an anti-6-pack like vendetta at this point in my life. Everyone is like, there's like the 6-pack has come to equate to like, it's like the highest status symbol in health and fitness, but it's like, who made this? Like someone made this up. Like there is no link between having a 6-pack and being healthy, being fit, feeling better, anything like that. But muscle mags in like the 80s made it a thing. And then they put girls on covers touching guys' abs, and like it like, and now it's just a thing that every guy thinks that they're supposed to aspire to this thing. And it's just like, it's created. It's the same thing. People always have, one of the questions I always ask people is like, where do you think that came from? Like, where do you learn that from? Because people have these things that everyone just knows, right? They're like, I just know that. Like, you know, people are always saying like, I know I'm supposed to cut out carbs. I'm like, well, how do you know that? Like, where did that come from? And one of the big ones is breakfast, right? People always say like, everyone knows you're supposed to eat a big breakfast. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Like, but where do you know that from? It just kind of like exists in the zeitgeist. It's out there, but it's like, in reality, if you do the research, breakfast is the most important meal of the day was a marketing gimmick made up by the Kellogg's company in like the 1950s to get people to eat more cereal. Right. So it's like now we take it as health advice because it's just so ubiquitous in our world. It's this belief that we have like, oh, yeah, like, well, of course, you have to have a big breakfast. It's like, I mean, I don't know, but there's nothing wrong with a big breakfast if you like it. But is that we have these things that we just believe and we don't go a layer back to be like, but where did this belief come from? And why do I have it so deep in me?
And then also one more layer, like, how does this actually feel for me?
Right. Right.
Right. Like, what is the belief? Where did it come from? How am I relating to it? How does this serve me?
Right.
How do I feel about this?
Uh-huh.
Right. We're allowed to not just agree with the masses.
Right.
But it's so scary to do that because we think we're going to be wrong.
Right.
We think we're going to mess up. And that comes back to perfectionism. I need to do all the right things and all the right times in order to live the life I want to live. Well, if you're just doing all the right things according to everybody else, you're never going to live the life you want to live because you're just living everybody else's life.
Right.
Like, that's the truth of it.
And it also comes to what you were just saying about safety, right? Everything comes down to safety. Our brain wants us to be safe. And we have to understand that humans are communal animals, right? And we got this far in human history by working together, meaning the way that we evolved out of hunter-gatherers and were able to start farming and to start was by creating societies. And we did that by trusting each other and by people, you know, this is why we get a natural gut instinct about someone, right? You know, when you meet someone, you don't like them because that's an evolutionary instinct bred into us. Like, we had to be able to trust someone before there were phones, before there was electricity, before there were houses, and you had your tribe. And you had to trust that if five of you went out on a hunt together, that person was going to have your back. Or if he caught an animal and you didn't, and he gave you some today that you're going to give him some tomorrow or something like that. So we have this innate thing of community built into us. So going back to what you just said, so now if we have a fear of being looked less upon by our community, meaning I'm overweight and people don't like overweight people, or I tried and I failed and people don't like failures, or whatever the thing is, and we have these beliefs of things that would lower our status among other people, that's one of the deepest fears that we have. But we have to realize that that's not real. Like, it's we don't live in that world anymore, and people don't care, you know. So it's like it's a double whammy of like you're thinking that people are going to look at you less as less of a person because you're 5 pounds overweight, or because you started a business and it flopped, or something weird like that. And even if they did, it wouldn't matter because you're a unique, special snowflake, you know?
You're self-sufficient. Right. You got this. You don't need people to validate you. Exactly. I think too, though, like on the other side of that coin, people may not even realize that that's what's going on.
Sure.
Right? You know what I mean? Like, I think those thought patterns, those beliefs, so that programming runs so deep sometimes that we're afraid to, like, for, I don't know, coaches comes to mind because that's who I mentor. But right. Like, coaches are afraid to post online, right? Because they're afraid to be wrong. They're afraid to be judged by their peers. They don't want to feel like they don't know as much as other people, whatever. But ultimately, that the fear is linked to, I don't want to not belong to this right. little community, right? I don't want to be othered.
Right.
And the same is true, like you just said, for like a nutrition goal. I don't want to order differently than my friends because I don't want to be others, mm-hmm. you know, and we don't even realize in the moment that that's what's going on. Right. We just feel the emotion attached right. to it. We see the stories, but it requires investigation right. in order to figure that out. Because once you can see that, you can start to work through it. Right. We can't work through that unless we actually bring to the surface what the truth of the reality is. Right. We're just kind of operating in this no man's land, just letting the world sort of move us where it wants right. to, 100%. You know?
100%. And I mean, it's exactly like you said, that people don't know this is happening. And this is why this is the hard thing, because it's like this is happening at such a deep subconscious level that it takes a level of self-work before you can even get to the point of being like, whoa, like you said, what, like catching yourself, shooting yourself, and then being like, wait, hold on, let me take a step back. So it's like it's so much easier to just go through the motions. But this is the thing, is that it doesn't actually solve anything, because we think it's easier, right? Because it's like, well, that seems like a lot of work. I have to go to therapy and I have to learn about myself and I have to break down emotional barriers and I have to talk all this stuff. But it's like, so that we don't do that because of that hard work. But then what we get is hard on the other side when we don't have the life that we want, right? When we mm-hmm. when we keep starting a diet and then failing it because we're self-sabotaging, right? You know, it's like when you have those people that you've worked with, I've worked with, everyone has, and I'm sure anyone who's listening to this will relate to this with like, oh, I do so good on the weekdays, but then every weekend I fall off. Well, it's like, if you're telling the same story over and over, people are like, well, I just need more willpower. I just need more self-control. Obviously that isn't the answer, because if that was the answer, it would be done already. Right. Like, this is the thing. It's like we are like, oh, like, well, it's too hard to wade through the mental mess to figure out why I'm self-sabotaging. But it's like, but the other option is to find yourself in a constant loop of try, fail, try, fail, try, fail, till you get so frustrated that you just quit and give up forever. So it's like neither, like the second one is worse for me, because at least the first one, you're doing upfront effort, but there's a light at the end of that tunnel.
It's exactly. I totally agree. I talk about this all the time with my clients and my students. And the way I describe it is like, choose your pain, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. You either choose to be in pain now, or you choose to be a pain forever. Mm-hmm. If you choose to feel pain now, you're doing the work that we just talked about, right? It's not going to be super fun. It's going to feel confronting. It's, you're probably going to cry. That's okay. It's going to feel emotional. It's going to be painful, right? To move through these things. It is. Or choose your pain in the future. Choose forever pain. If you never work through this, you're going to be in this forever loop, right? So if the choice is theirs, and that can be really like a great perspective shift
right.
to move through, to go, okay, even in the moment when they're feeling triggered, it's a quick, okay, I'm either choosing to be in pain now, or I'm choosing to be in pain forever. Which am I going to choose? The choice is mine. And choosing to be in pain right now means not reacting, means taking a step back, means ordering the chicken instead of the burger or whatever, and then trusting that you're still going to be okay at the end of that.
That's 100%. And again, anyone who listens to this podcast know I say all the time, everything is the same. Because everything that you just said about choosing pain now versus pain in the future is fitness. It is nutrition. It is mindset. It is therapy. It is business, right? You're starting a business. It's going to be a lot of upfront pain, but the goal is that you get rich enough in the future that you can retire early, right? If you like, it's literally the exact same thing. And this is everything, right? Delayed gratification, the marshmallow test, whatever you want to talk about. It's the exact same thing. It's, can I accept a disproportionate amount of upfront effort that does not give me the result right now? Because that's the thing, right? It's exactly what you just said about faith or trust or whatever you want to call it. If you got the result right now, if someone said, all right, you're going to do a 100-mile ruck run and emerge and then diet for the next 12 hours. And at the end of that, you're going to have the exact body that you always wanted, guaranteed. Well, yeah, like people would do that for sure because they can see the result. But the whole thing, all of this stuff that we're talking about, whether it's the physical, whether it's the nutrition, whether it's the mental, it's doing a lot of work, going through the pain that you just said, but not being guaranteed the result, even though the result is guaranteed. That's the funny part. The result, you will get the result if you don't give up. But it's the fact that because we don't have like exactly in front of us, like, well, how long will it take? When will it be? What's it going to look like? We have all these questions and they're unanswered. And that's a very hard bargain for our brain to strike. Again, going back to safety, going back to energy being finite, going back to our brain does not want us to look foolish in front of people. So like, wait, what do you mean? I have to do all this work and I have to cry and I have to do this, this and that. And what do I even get out of it? Maybe something 6 months from now. It's like, nah, you know, pass on that. Send me the burger. So
yeah. Give me the plan. I'll start on Monday.
Right, yeah. Right.
Exactly. Exactly. I think I love this conversation so much. It's such an important message people need to. They need to hear, like, if you're listening, listen to this again, right? Like, please let this integrate and hear what we're saying to you. It's not about getting the result right now. You're conditioned to believe that that needs to happen in order for you to be happy.
Right.
The fitness industry has conditioned you to believe that if you don't lose 2 pounds a week, if you don't have the body you want in 3 months, that you failed. That's what they want you to believe. They want you to continue hopping from plan to plan to plan, looking for external solutions to your internal problem.
Right.
I think like a really cool perspective that people might be able to take, because I can see some of your audience members going like, well, should I just not have goals then? Right. And like, no, that's not what we're saying at all. Like, if you want to chase a six pack,
right,
cool. But the thing that's going to make you happy isn't having the six pack. The thing that's going to make you happy is going through the journey of challenging yourself and recognizing, you know, when you didn't want to go to the gym, going to the gym anyways and feeling really fulfilled by that and connecting emotion back to, yeah, right? Connecting emotion back to the goal that you're chasing, right? What is the feeling that you're expecting this to give you? And how can you give yourself that now?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. I love that. The feeling that you're chasing and getting that now. And this is the thing too. Again, everything comes back to human nature. And that's why this stuff is so interesting, because this is just human stuff. And this is the psychology of our brain and how the chemicals in our brain work. And it's like, we are bred to get enjoyment out of work, because if not, we would just have died, right? Because since working is hard, everything that we do, if we want it to be a positively reinforced, our brain gives us a release of dopamine or some other happy chemical that reminds us, that goes, ooh, that felt good doing that thing. So one of the biggest rewards we can get is achieving something. It's doing something. It's the work for something. But it has to be a struggle, right? So an easy example is, if you want to get good at tennis, you practice a lot against someone who's as good as you or a little bit better than you. And that pushes you to become better. If they're too, this is the whole concept of flow, right? That, you know, that, right. So it's like, if that person is too much better than you and they're destroying you, then it's too much of a challenge. And like you don't like it. So that's like trying to lift a bar that's 500 pounds when you can't lift a 50 pound bar. It's too much. And that becomes self-deflating. But if it's the right amount of challenge where you can do it and you struggle through it and you get it, that gives us the most pleasant reward. And on the flip side of that is, imagine being really good at tennis and going out and playing against a five-year-old. You could be the best tennis player in the world, and that's not going to be very fun either. Because you're like, well, the point is to win. Well, if all you want to do is win, you can set up easy opponent after easy opponent after easy opponent, but that is not going to give you anything either. That's going to actually make you very bored, and you're eventually going to be like, well, this is stupid. There's no point in doing this either. So we actually get the most satisfaction out of a challenge, right? It's the same, the old analogy of, if you didn't have to work for it, the perfect body, right? If I could wave a magic wand right now to give you whatever your brain is the perfect body, you'd be enamored by it for a day or two or something like that, because it's like, ooh, cool, but like shiny new car. But in reality, you didn't work for it, and it doesn't feel as good, and you're not able to, and you didn't build the habits that it took to get there. And it's like you just said, like, those are the things that actually give you the satisfaction, that feeling of like, oh, I really didn't want to go to the gym today, but I went anyway. Oh, you know, like whatever the thing is. And I think that that's like such an important thing, because again, people would just be like, oh, well, just give me the answer. Just give me the result. But it's like, it wouldn't be worth anything if I could. I can't, you know, that's point. And point A is that I can't, it's impossible. But point B is that even if I could, you wouldn't want it.
Right. Okay? Exactly. At the end of the day, it would rob you of something.
Right.
I would never want to take that away from someone.
Right.
That struggle, that challenge, like feeling like you're overcoming something and coming out on top and discovering who you are in the process. And like, it's this whole beautiful journey that everyone just wants to get.
Right. I love that. I'm going to actually take a quick sharp turn here and tangent a little bit, but you said this word, I think at least twice, if not three times, but I'm very big on words and the words that we choose to use. And I know that you chose this word for a reason, and it was the word release. You said, I had to release that gym, the gym routine, and I released it. So I want to know why you chose that word and what that kind of stuff means to you.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. I'm loving this U-turn you just took. So when I say release, what I equate that to is surrender, trust, right? Having faith that what I'm releasing because it doesn't feel aligned anymore. And there's something that's meant to come in and replace that in a much more powerful way. So it's a very deliberate choice to release something that you feel no longer serves you, but it's gentle. You know, it's not like this big pendulum swing. It's just like, you know what? I'm just going to see what happens. I'm going to trust that by releasing this one piece of what I thought I needed to be or do is going to be okay for me.
Right.
You know, it's like this, I say trust fall a lot too, like trust falling forward into the direction you're supposed to go in your life. And so when we talk about like releasing strength training to do yoga, in my recent experience of currently going through this, I sometimes still like, well, pull out a kettlebell and do some like single leg deadlifts. I don't want to lose my butt. But there's still that fear there. Like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have a floppy bunk. That's my stupid brain coming back up again, right? But like releasing that is an ongoing practice. I release it every day. I choose to continue to re-release it every day.
Right. I
love until that. It becomes normal, right?
I love that. And again, it's exactly what you just said. So much of that is so key. Again, anyone listening to this, I like you just said, suggest listening to this whole thing again, but especially that last bit of that, like, but I release it. I don't remember the exact words, but it's just kind of like softly and with like, just, it's not serving me anymore. Again, this thing maybe was serving me for a long time in the past, and that's fine, right? Because a lot of times, again, going back to our brain and like it being afraid, it's like a lot of times it's like, if I change something, that means what I was doing was wrong, right? So if I just spent the last 10 years strength training and now I stop strength training to go do yoga, so that's an insult. That means, wait, what did I just waste the last 10 years? Was I stupid? Was this wrong? Was that wrong? Or was I wasting, you know, what should I have been doing yoga this whole time? And it's all these different things. My brain is like, I don't like that. Okay, I'm just going to stick with what I was doing, because it's that, you know, the cognitive dissonance of like, okay, I'd rather pretend that this is the right thing and never change it than admit that I was wrong. So it's okay to say, as you just said, like, okay, I'm releasing this thing, and just because it doesn't serve me anymore, and it's just a test to see, are things better now? You know, are things better? Does something else, can things be done in a different way? Because even like you said, I have this belief of, oh, well, I have to do single leg deadlifts so that I don't lose my butt. And like you said, like, even that's a weird belief of like, I don't want to lose my butt, but even that, and then I go a little bit deeper, but why does that matter? Because, well, people will, you know, because I'm a fitness person and fitness girls are supposed to have nice butts, but Why does that matter? Why does that matter? We can just keep going deeper into it, but that's hard. And even you are this, you teach this, you spread this all the time, and it still happens to you. So I just always like to point that out to the listeners. Like, I go through this, you go through this. This is not like I'm speaking down from the mountaintop at people. This is the shit that I deal with every single day, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, I love that. I think too, like, just to build on what you just said was, you know, instead of changing something, releasing it, yes, but I think like releasing something is changing something. It's just doing it in a way and through the lens of curiosity instead of through the lens of judgment.
Right.
Right. When we change something forcibly, we're almost like judging ourselves because it didn't work.
Right.
And we're like seeking something to replace that because we think it'll work better. Releasing something is like, well, this doesn't feel good. So let's get curious about what could feel better. And let's just trust that maybe that's going to be okay for me.
Right. And it's also specifically the choice of words are important, right? I do a course called Mindset Shift, and literally week one, day one is self-talk, right? And it's about how important our words are, and release is a big one, right? Release, people always talk about losing weight, but in terms of what does our mind associate loss with? We associate loss with a negative thing. We don't look to lose things. We lose things by accident. What do you do when you lose your keys? You try to find it. What do you do when you lose your phone? You use Find My iPhone. We don't lose things on purpose. If I release weight, it's like you said, it's like, okay, this weight was serving me for a time. It helped me. I'm a very healthy person. I'm 31 years old and it's done me well up until now, but now it's time for us to part ways and for my fat to go. I've released it. I'm no longer holding on to it. It's not something that I ever seek to find again. And it might seem silly to people, and it might have seemed silly to me until I really understood the brain and understood that these connections make a difference. Because our brain, again, going back to it, always wants us to be right. It always wants us to be safe. So if I'm saying, hey, I release you, then it wants us to be right. So it's going to follow that narrative. Whereas again, if I'm losing something, which is a negative, it doesn't want, oh, well, losing is bad. So let's go find that weight again.
Oh my gosh, it's such a cool shift. I love that you offer that to your clients. It's so, words are so powerful. I mean, it's how we make meaning of the world, right? How do you know the sky is blue?
Right.
Because someone called it blue and now we all adopted that as truth. Right. But just like you said, with losing, there is this connotation to it. There's this meaning behind it. And by calling something, saying we're losing something, we do subconsciously seek it out to find it again. Or even, you know, telling yourself that you're binging on the weekend when really you just ate a cookie, or telling yourself you're self-sabotaging when really you just went to your nephew's birthday party and you had a piece of birthday cake. You know, like, how are you describing your experiences? Mm-hmm. Are you catastrophizing them? Are you making them so much bigger in your mind than they really are in reality? When you start this work, when you start to pay attention to the words that you're using, you start to reframe. Sometimes it's going to be like, it's going to feel forced, right? Like, you're maybe not going to fully believe it at first. You just have to have patience with yourself. It takes time. It takes time.
And this stuff has not happened overnight. But the point is, it also doesn't happen without effort and without understanding that this is a thing. So that's what the whole point of the conversation like this is. It's just a jumping off point. It's just to say like, hey, there's another way. The way that maybe someone listening to this has been doing things of just kind of going through the motions. You mentioned before, like kind of just like being moved around like by life as opposed to being in the driver's seat is something that I always talk about.
Right. Exactly. I totally agree. I think, you know, too, as you're starting to make these changes, the most important layer to it that we haven't touched on yet is attaching meaning to the things that you do change. And recognizing them and pulling them to the surface and feeling, allowing yourself, giving yourself permission to feel good about those things, right? Like I pause and I recognize that this made me feel really uncomfortable. And that was a big deal for me because before I would have just skipped right over that and eat thing, right? Or, you know what I mean? It's so important you attach meaning because if we never attach meaning, we're never recognizing ourselves. We're never feeling like we're making progress. So we're outputting all this energy, but we're never really inputting anything.
Right.
You know, so it feels like I'm just spinning my wheels. I'm just doing all this stuff. I'm exhausted and I'm not getting the result.
100%.
So, yeah.
100%. I love that. Exactly. I said, oh, spinning your wheels. And that's the worst. I would say that's to me the what I call the seventh ring of hell, where it's like you're doing the work and not getting the result. Because it's one thing if you don't do the work and you don't get a result. You can't really be mad about that. And right. It's another thing if you do a lot of work and then you get a result. Because it's like, okay, my brain can comprehend that. But when we're doing work, when we're putting in effort and we're not getting a result, that's when we take a fast track to quit city. That's a guaranteed way for us to give up on the result. And that's why I love what you just said about attaching meaning to change, because we need that meaning, because without that, if you don't have a meaning behind why you're trying to make the change, what are you left with? Expectation, right? If you don't have a meaning for why you're doing it, the only reason you would be doing it is because if I don't have a meaning for why I want to get in shape and start exercising, there's no real meaning for it, then why am I doing it? Well, because I'm supposed to, because someone told me to, because I know that's what you're supposed to do. And these are all expectations. So it's really, now that I'm thinking about it, you just kind of made this appear in my brain, but like a binary choice. We have one or the other. You have change for the right reason, for a meaningful reason, or you have change because I should, because I'm supposed to, because it's expected of me. And those two things can't really exist in the same place, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, based on everything that we've talked about, or just in general, the last thing I ask every guest on this show is to leave the people listening right now with one action step that they can take right after this show to start living a healthier, happier life. And it can be about nutrition. It can be about fitness. It can be about mindset. It can be anything in the world, but just something that they can do immediately.
And I love that you asked this question. I think just along the same lines as our entire conversation today, what I would challenge everyone to do today, like right now, is start tuning into how you feel in different scenarios in your life, specifically around your goals, okay? So when you're making a choice to eat something, do you feel excited or do you feel nervous? When you make a choice to go out for dinner with friends, do you feel excited or do you feel anxious, right? Like, what's going on in your body? Get into your body. We are so in our heads all the time. That's where expectation lives. That's where perfectionism lives. That's where our storylines live. If we can just for a moment go, okay, I hear you, brain. You want me to order the salad, but I'm just going to tap into my body real quick. How does that choice make me feel? Right? And just get curious about the difference, right? Your brain's going to justify something. Your body's going to say no, but you're going to ignore it and listen to your brain anyways because that feels safe. Just start to pay attention to your patterns. That's the very first step. That's the very first step to all of this, is just getting curious. But not judge yourself for what comes up. Start documenting it. Start journaling about it. Reach out to Paul about it. Ask for advice. You know, Paul, this keeps coming up. What does this mean? You know, it's so important to have someone guide you through this, because from an outside perspective, it's so much clearer what could be going on when you're in it. It's very difficult to navigate. But again, the very first step is start to pay attention to what your body is telling you. Get comfortable feeling again. Right? Get comfortable feeling hard things again, because the change that needs to happen is not going to feel pleasant. It's going to feel anxious. You're going to feel frustrated. You're going to feel afraid. You're going to feel sad. All of these things are going to come to the surface. It's okay. How can you create space to feel?
Well, now you know there's no such thing as should. I do think you should have learned a lot from this episode. The way Laura breaks down how expectations hold us back really made me rethink my own goal setting. I hope you can now see some of the places you've been getting in your own way and potentially holding yourself back in your quest for change. And I hope that you feel better equipped to create the life you're dreaming of. That is change made easy. If you're really passionate about making this change stick, then I just have to remind you about my free weekly newsletter. Don't miss out on joining the thousands of change seekers just like you who get a curated list each week of 5 educational, informative, and inspiring pieces of content that will help you on your quest for change. Go to the notes of whatever app you're listening on and click the link that says free newsletter now, and you'll be signed up to get free tips sent straight to your inbox every Friday that will help make your change journey easier. All you have to do is click free newsletter right now. Go to that link, and I'll see you back here every Tuesday and Thursday for new episodes of Change Made Easy.